welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interviews. Today we have, I don't know how to say this, one of my favorite guests. Tucky Williams is back. Thank you for coming back on. We always have so much fun. I enjoy you as a person. You're my favorite meteorologist, probably the only one I know, but thank you for coming on again.
Thank you for having me back. Thank you for all those compliments. That means a lot to me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I love being here. This is, I just love your show, and it's blowing up now, right?
It is, thanks to you. I have a question. I did some background research on you, just a little bit, not a lot.
Ooh.
So I was reading you're a yoga instructor.
Yeah. I taught yoga for over a decade.
How, does that help you at all being an actress? Yoga? Does it help you to calm, or does nothing to
well,
do with
there are situations where people are suddenly in pain, and I'm able to stretch them out immediately.
So has this happened on a set that you've had to stretch somebody out?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest. It was during a love scene. This girl got a cramp in her leg. And so I knew what to do, and I grabbed her foot and I lifted her leg up and pulled her knee back, and it just, you know, cured it right away.
What a nice person. Like, you're sitting directing your scene. You're like, hold on. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. She had a leg cramp. It's like, hey, I know how to fix it.
So
sometimes people will be like, oh, my back hurts. I'm like, oh, do this. I'm like, oh, my God. My back has been hurting for years. Why didn't anyone tell me about this? I'm like, no.
That's awesome. Now, during this pandemic, have you been doing online yoga to help you relax to get through this or anything? Or
I haven't been doing any yoga. I did it for a decade. I got it out of my system. It's really a special thing to be able to teach something you love, especially something like that. And then, you know, the reward of teaching people and everything. But I've done enough of it.
So have you done enough of
judging myself out in my anatomy? What?
Have you done enough of acting, or is this your true passion? This
oh,
is it for the
hell
rest of your
no.
Life?
Hell no. Acting's forever. As long as people are interested in what I got, then I'm going to keep doing it.
So
that's a good question.
So I forgot to mention your film. So you're here for Dagger's Kiss, The Enchanted Forest, which is a web series, I think.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Okay. Then when I read this article is wrong. It was a web series. I'm like, okay, well.
All right. Well, the first iteration of it was actually a web series, and then Amazon picked it up, and much to our surprise, it was a hit on Amazon. And we're going, what? This is a low budget web series, but it did really, really well on Amazon. 8 episodes, about 10 minutes each. People loved it. So I said, okay, let's make a movie. So it did start as a web series. Then it was a series, and now it's a movie.
Okay. We're going to get into it. I promise. I just forgot to say the title. So when you're writing anything, how do you get in that headspace? Let's start there. How do you get a Tucky Williams movie? Because you write all your own stuff. So
yes. Stay up late at night. Everything has to be quiet. You wait to get into your zone. And for me, that's always late at night. And you meditate and make sure your mind is clear and open so that ideas can just kind of flow into it all throughout the day. I mean, for this movie, the major plot twist came to me when I was walking into a bookstore. I was like, oh, that's what you do. You do the Total Recall plot twist, which is, I don't know what the name of that plot twist is called, but it's the one they use in Total Recall. And I was like, oh, do that one. Do Total Recall.
But when you're walking into a bookstore, that's not late at night. That's like
no, but
during
I think
the
you
day.
Have to be open-minded. You can't be stuck in your mind all the time. There's a way that yoga plays a part in my life is the meditation aspect. So most people, they're thinking all day, every day. And really, if you just stop for 5 minutes, everybody goes, how do you meditate? How do you do that? I'm like, set a timer for 5 minutes so you're not worried about how long you spend doing it. And just sit there for 5 minutes. That's it. That's all you have to do. And they go, well, don't you have to have a mantra or a thing you do? And I was like, no, don't do anything. Just sit there for 5 minutes. And nobody ever does it because it's extraordinarily difficult to sit still for 5 minutes. And when you're in the habit of doing that, it does something. Somebody called it brain lubricant. it does something to your brain, and it opens up. It's not metaphysical. It just does something to your brain, and then if your brain has the ability to stop the thinking process, then things just come to you. Not from the universe or anything. It's just your brain is able to tell you stories.
So I have a question. Would you consider yourself a micro-budget filmmaker or a low-budget filmmaker?
Zero-budget filmmaker.
Okay, that's what I was going with. So when you're trying to create some kind of financial stability for your films, how does that come to be? Where does your money come from? How do you get that money?
Oh, I can't answer that. I think you have to kind of keep that stuff to yourself. But when it comes to making the movie, I apply for grants from feminist organizations because my work is, of course, very feminist, and that pays for a lot of it. And then a little bit of it is out of pocket, and then most of it is the generosity of the cast and crew. The crew, they're just generous. They're giving up the time, like the way I do, to do something they love. And the cast, they go, the actors and actresses, they go, well, hey, I want to get famous. I want to be in this movie. If I'm in a movie that people are going to watch, then people are going to want to see me in more stuff. So they go, yeah, I don't need to get paid a fortune. This is going to be great for my career. I'm just getting started. And like, you know, a lot of people will see this. Man. So generosity, I think, is the biggest.
I would also say you have acted in many, many things and produced many, many things. So people know your name by now. So they should want to come on a project because they know it's going to be a quality project and it's going to be finished.
Yeah, they do. They do. And you know, one girl said to me, this is horrible. She, I know, keep in mind, she was pretty young, but she said, I watched you kind of helped me. I watched you when I was a teenager. You helped me come out of the closet. And I was like, oh my God, you might as well have called me your babysitter. Don't say I was your favorite actress when you were growing up. That's horrible. Nobody wants to hear that. But, you know, she meant it as a compliment. But I'm glad I helped her out. It's just weird that I've been doing this for so long that children are now adults and have benefited from it.
Well, it's the same thing as being a podcaster. I mean, I've had people on my show on their first movie, they're on their third or fourth movie. I mean, I'm like, how many old am I getting? But I'm like, you get there, but you got to take it as a compliment if people keep coming back to you saying thank you.
Yeah, of course. Of course I take it as a compliment. It's just funny. It's just a surprise when, I don't know, okay, for the record, I started out young. All right, but it's just funny when a grown up says, "Oh, you were my favorite actress when I was growing up." It's like, "Oh, that's meant as a compliment." Right?
So, how young were you before you got in the business? Like, were you 15, 16?
Oh, I think I was like 18. I really don't remember. It was right around when I was doing meteorology. So, because you know, I graduated early from college, so I had a lot of time on my hands, and I was able to be in this weird little movie, and of course I loved it.
Did you
Yeah, go ahead.
In college, were you an actor?
No, because I wanted to make money when I grew up. I didn't understand getting a degree in acting in college because, you know, it was like I was going to college so I could have a job where I could make money, and I just felt like career-wise, I just didn't think it was a good idea career-wise to study acting. I mean, now I see actors who studied acting in college, and I see now why it is a good idea because they're excellent at their craft. But I think a lot of it was like the acting, like they're really stuck up. Like they make you start with acting 101 and work your way up from the bottom. And I kind of wish they had a test. Like they do with French. Like I took French. So they had a test to see how proficient you were in French. Right. And so, I thought with the acting program, they should have a test to see, okay, how proficient is she in acting? Cause we don't want to waste 2 years of her life while she's, you know, learning monologues and where to stand on the stage, stuff like that, stage choreography. So I think I tried to get into acting at one point and I was like, I signed up for an intermediate level class and my friend told me that if you go to that, you haven't had all the 101s and 201s, they just kick you out. And so it's like, okay, forget this, because I don't want to learn all that basic stuff.
So when you're casting that, wouldn't you call that acting 101? Because you're like, nope, they can't act. They're not going to be able to help me. Or maybe they can help me and I can help them. How do you look at that in the casting process?
You mean, okay, in regards to a degree?
No, in hiring somebody in acting.
Oh, okay. So repeat the question. I don't get them.
You're in your casting process. You have actors coming in for a role. Mm-hmm. And somebody doesn't have a lot of experience, but you feel you can help them. Do you hire them over somebody with experience?
Oh, I hire them. I think talent is innate. And I think that in the girl scene movie I just did, there was one girl, she did have a theater degree, but she'd never been in anything. You know, it wasn't on a stage. It was her first TV movie, anything in front of a camera. It was her very first. And the other girl, okay, so 2,000 girls applied to be in girl scene. And, you know, there were like 6 parts, and I got 2 girls from that pool of 2,000. And so those two hadn't really done anything, and the other had done absolutely nothing, but they were the most talented. So, and, you know, fit the part, and I'm sure they were talented people, but they were extraordinarily talented. And I hired them because they had, even though they had little or no experience, they were the best.
Okay. We're going to go into your Enchanted Forest film, though.
I like talking about casting, though. I think casting is my favorite part.
We're going to go back. Don't worry. I know you well enough. I know we can go back and forth.
The process. That's the process. The process. You know, I have to suppress the Canadian accent, which is difficult. But then I remember when I talk to you, I don't need to. But then it doesn't come out. Mine was bad for a long time, the Canadian accent. And then I'll say, you know, process or wear boots.
Wow, we're going hardcore on the podcast.
And people catch me. Yeah, where boots are you from? And I'm just like, or sometimes I'll say something and people are like, what? You know, I don't live near Canada. They go, what? And I go, what? And apparently I said it with a huge Canadian accent. I don't know.
But you're not Canadian.
I'm Canadian by proxy. So like good chunk of my family's in Toronto. So the accent is readily available, and like I can't turn it on right now, but as soon as I cross the border, oh man, it's all on then. Full Canadian.
Wow. I got to hear this at some point. So
I watch Schitt's Creek. So I have to say, if I watch Schitt's Creek, I have a Canadian accent for like an hour after that.
That's too funny. So coming up on Tucky Williams' YouTube video, where everybody's going to watch Schitt's Creek, and she's going to talk Canadian for you coming up soon.
And people make fun of me. And I'm like, what? That's great. It's great that I can search around like that.
There you go. Derek just came out.
Like, sound like Shania Twain, sort of. That's sort of in between.
So locations, you're on a micro budget, no money for locations. Let's be honest. We know there isn't. Where's this park? Beautiful park.
That took a lot of location scouting. It's 3 different parks.
Oh, cheating.
Yeah. Well, it's a forest. I mean, there was one time when all the lands were forests. So this is just different parts of the forest, but it's 3 different locations. And, you know, there's one that we use where you can scream. So it just depends on what the scene is. So there's a forest we can use if you need to scream or have a big drama scene. You don't want anyone around. That one's not as pretty, so you don't want to use that as much. So there's really exotic forest that if it's just, you know, if you can stop every 15 minutes because someone walks through, or, you know, you're not going to be screaming and pretending to be stabbed, then we use the really beautiful forest.
So, okay, and you have a house location. Whose house did you steal this time?
My house.
Again?
Yeah, it's always my house.
I know. I just thought maybe we'd have something different. I have to ask. You know what?
In the girl scene movie, I had those 3 locations, and one of them was my house.
I know. So I'm going to start spicing your films together so people can figure out what your house looks like.
I think the hardcore fans know, and I'm pretty sure they Google Earth it. They know exactly where I live.
I have not done that. Sorry. I'm going to be in so much editing today.
I like this. I love this.
Okay, I'll leave it in.
I love this. These are questions I've never asked, so I appreciate
color
it.
Corrections on the film. I did notice you played with color more on this film than you did on Girl and Girl Seat. Like what?
Played with what?
Color. Your colors. You were bouncing colors off.
My powers. My magical powers.
Yes.
Yes. My character and the other thing doesn't have magical powers. She can just seduce women. This one, yes, I can do things. I have the ability to kill, you know, just with my touch.
So what colors did you decide? I've discovered you have a machination with colors. You seem to love color. Is that your thing in films? You always look to add color into things?
That was the editor, Mark Holmberg. He did that. He didn't shoot it. So it was, here we go. Nerd time. Nerd alert. It was shot with a Black Magic, but we don't think it was optimized. So it looks a little bit flat. And he went through it and he just sort of corrected the flat. Now we could come out with a version where it looks very boring and still, and you know, close between like black and white with a little bit of red in it, which is kind of what the Black Magic was set to. It was, like I said, the setting wasn't optimized. So the way he was able to fix that is he got the footage after it was shot and he added in the color later.
See, I do notice these things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make it work.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Your costuming. I'm never sure. Are you? Who made these? They don't look like store-bought. So I'm convinced
they are not.
Made them. Okay.
The costumes in Dagger Kiss are one of the highlights for me. My costumes that I wear, my character, first there's the blue dress, which is amazing and comfortable, and I would wear it all day if I could. It's a blue dress, long and flowing, leather pants and leather boots. I love that. I could wear it all the time. The other costume I would like to burn, but it is exceptional. It is a brown corset, a brown leather corset, brown leather skirt, and then brown leather sleeves that go over it for when it's cold. And so, like I said, I want to burn it because you can't, as Christian Bale, he gave advice to someone who was going to play a superhero, and he said about the costume, he said, just make sure you can take a piss in it. This costume, that's kind of questionable as to whether I can do that. It's hard to bend over. You know, like that's my stunt is when I'm wearing the, and it's funny because that's the action costume. When she's wearing the dress, it's when she's being very royal and, doing her magic sorceress thing. And then when there's the action, she's wearing the leather stuff, but it's funny because I just can't move at all. So my stunt work in this movie is bending forward or sitting down. That's what takes the most effort.
Hold on.
Throwing knives, sword fighting, that's easy, but taking a seat is actually impossible.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. You do have a full-on sword fight in this costume.
Yeah. I don't know how. I can't move. It was me doing shot breakdowns, like we're going to shoot this, we're going to shoot this, we're going to shoot this to make it look like I'm moving.
So when you're shooting it, is it like a swing, stop, parry, stop, edit?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, at any time have you ever dropped your sword?
No. And my character uses two daggers. So, yeah. That's easier to move around in. So, it's the other character has a sword. My girlfriend in the movie, she has a sword. And then I have two daggers. So, that's harder to hurt yourself with.
Did you want a sword or did you want ninja stars or dagger was always your thing? I mean, the film is called Daggers.
Okay, so in the first, I like to call it my first movie. It wasn't my first movie. It's the first one I like, and I'm really proud of it, Dead Moon Rising. I had a shotgun and samurai, a shotgun, a gun at my hip, and a samurai sword. So I kind of got the sword thing out of my body. Like, I did that thing, and I was like, you know, this isn't – I want to try something else. And daggers are very medieval. You can't actually fight with those, right? You can only use those in a movie. So, yeah, I wanted to do the dagger thing, two daggers, right? You just throw those around and stab people. It's very good for – it's very good to make it look like you're killing somebody with a dagger. It's very easy, and it looks cool. Those daggers are intense.
So maybe I should ask, is next up for you a pirate film? I mean, you really enjoy this medieval thing. So a pirate would fit for you, or, I mean, I can't see you doing a Western in any kind, unless you're going to be a Winona Earp, maybe.
I will say you're not the first person who's asked me if I'm going to do a pirate film, but I really like medieval fantasy, so I'm going to stick with that. I like the dresses. I like the costumes. I like the hair. I like the fantasy magical aspect. There's just something special about that world. You know, you're always in a forest. Like, why are you always in a forest? And why does it always look like you're in the 16th century if it's a fantasy? Nobody knows. Nobody knows why you're in a forest all the time. Nobody knows why you're always walking somewhere. Nobody knows why there's always a magical MacGuffin. You know, we don't know why it's set and why don't these fantasy movies ever look like, I don't know, the 9th century. That doesn't happen. Or, you know, the 19th century. That doesn't happen. It's always the 16th century. Who knows why? Like, even if it's set, and I've noticed in these movies, like, even if it's set in these fantasy movies, like this historical kind of fantasy movies, even if it's set in a different century, they still dress like it's the 16th century. And I'm like, hey, that's cool, because that's what everybody wants to see.
There you go. Now, this may be a weird question. Now, you're a very tall woman. You're about 5'9", from what I've read.
5'11".
Okay, you're even taller than what I read. But you seem to find women that are even taller than you when you're casting, or do you have them in lifts or boots?
Okay, so the girl who plays my girlfriend, with that part, I said I was looking for women who were, like, I would have taken somebody, but I said preferably 5'7" or taller. So she's about 5'8". And she has really high boots on. And then in all the scenes, she's either on a box or we're just standing. It's a forest, so you can find ground that isn't level. So she's always way up. So she has the heels on, and then she's on a different piece of ground so that we look like we're the same height. But that's just with someone being 5'7", 5'8". If someone's shorter, I mean, that would just look like a smaller human, and that would look – I mean, I would just make that person look like an elf, which is not the direction we're going.
So why are some of the people that come up to you, when you're filming this, do you have gawkers that sit in the forest and just stare at what you're doing, or?
Oh yeah. When I was doing this one, these people came up, they're like, are you Chucky Williams? Like, they couldn't believe they were going for a hike. Hike in the forest, just showing up one day, hike, have a picnic, hang out. They're like, what? Are you Tucky? Like, what's happening? I'm walking to a magical forest with Tucky, and this is like, you know, the thing they'd seen on TV, like, suddenly they were in it. Yeah, like, it's just a surprise, you know, because on the, like, a lot of scenes in the forest, like, if you look behind the camera, there's a parking lot, right? You know, so they're just in, like, the real world on Earth, and then you turn your head, and it's, like, this other world, and there are all these girls running around with these costumes on, and, you know, it's fun. So that's cool when that happens.
So at that point, I mean, obviously you're getting taken out of character. Do you go over and say hi to them? Do
wave? Of course.
So I don't know. I was wondering, like, you're doing your scene. You have to do so many pages in a day.
Well, I mean, you're set up, you know, so you're in the setup, but, you know, and you kind of, so you wave, hey, and then after it's over, you go and talk to them. If they're still there, you know, a lot of times people just have to go home. But, you know, the weird thing is people think I don't want to talk to them. So they're like, they just don't think they want to bother me. However, crazy people believe that I really want to talk to them. So it's the opposite of what you want. But no, like, people think they'll kind of be like, okay, I'll leave you alone. And, you know, it's like, no, I'm nice. I want to talk, unless you're psycho or needy. And then, you know, maybe we'll talk for a few minutes, and then you can go talk to somebody else for a little bit and then come back. But it's like, I wish people would talk to me more.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that you will spend time with people. I mean, I was just wondering.
Of course.
Just because of an independent film, your time is so restrictive.
Yeah. But like I said, people are just like, oh, I don't want to bother you. They don't even ask for a picture, you know? And I'm like, it's, you know, they've got that look, you know, like, they want to ask for a picture, but they don't want to. I'm like, did you want a picture? And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, and then the other thing, it's like, you can touch me, you know, right? So it's like, a lot of times I'll have to be like, if it's a guy, I'll be like, do you want to put your arm around my back? And they're always like, yeah, right? You know, like, yeah, oh gosh, you know. And then if it's a girl, I'll be like, hey, can I put my arm, do you want to like get in close so the picture looks good? And they're like, yeah, you know. So it's like, they want to take this picture. We're both standing like, oh, what's that picture with the two farmers? And I'm like, no, get in here.
That's awesome. You also have music in your film again, but again, you hide it very subtly. Like, I don't find it's out there. I do hear it, but not a lot. Now, why is that? Why do you hide your music so well?
It's a credit to the musician who scores it. His name is Will Phillips. I was so lucky. I ran into him. He's beyond gifted. You just kind of send him the scene, and he just knows what to do with it. He's just amazing. You just don't have to say anything. You don't have to give him notes. It's just kind of like, you know, there's a scene, it's been edited. You know, you always think it's going to take, he just sends it back and it's perfect. No notes whatsoever. Everything you see in that movie, if you watch that movie, that's what he wrote the first time. It's not like I went back and said, oh, it's too dramatic or, oh, no, that's what he wrote the first time and it's perfect. Will Phillips. Look him up on IMDb. He's an amazing musician.
Now, when you work with blood, do you have a certain amount of blood you're saying, okay, that's enough for me, I don't want to do too much? Or do you not worry about
that? Yeah, I like to stay away from the blood because it's messy. And I think if you actually watch a lot of movies, like a lot of fantasy films, a lot of action films, you think you're seeing blood, but you're really not. You think you're seeing gore, but you're really not. And I think the idea is it's actually better if people don't see the gory stuff. It's actually more believable when they don't see it. So you see a lot of, especially independent filmmakers, they'll put a lot of time into making it look like someone was stabbed or shot and it's using blood in exactly the right way. And it's actually a lot better if you can just trick people visually into thinking they saw something. So that's what we try to do as much as possible. And there's very little blood, really. I think there's more blood in like the real life movies. You don't need to show it. Like I said, the less people actually see it, the more it's left to their imagination, the more realistic it becomes.
So do you not like films with blood then, or are you just, it's your films?
Oh, no. I'm just saying that if you actually stop and pay attention, most films, unless they're specifically meant to be gory, like war films or horror films, you'd be surprised at how little you see. Like, if someone gets shot, you very rarely see someone actually being shot. They just sort of trick you into thinking you saw the person being shot. You very rarely see someone being kicked repeatedly on the floor. That's a trick. The blood thing, I mean, just pay attention. Whatever movie, action movie or horror or action movie or science, any movie where there's action, you know, watch it tonight. See how little it is that you don't really see. You know, like, think about it. Realize that there's not, okay. Like, an example, this is just the last time I remember seeing it was the other day. White House Down was on. And he smashes the TV to pieces. You never see the TV. You see the cross on him watching the TV. And then it crosses back to Chan. And you just see his hand go like that. And then they just make the sound of this huge TV smashing and then crashing onto the floor. Never in a million years would anybody notice that. So really, it's about tricking people into thinking they see something. Really, start watching it. Start paying attention. An exception is a movie like John Wick, where they really put an emphasis on actually, and I mean, this is gross, but you actually see people being shot in the head and you see bits of brain flying out. So don't watch John Wick and go, whoa, what's Tucky talking about? watch a different movie and see, and you'll be really surprised that you don't really see stuff. I think Vikings is one where you actually see arrows actually penetrate the skull. But I know in Game of Thrones, they don't show stuff. Like, they'll sword someone down the back of the spine. They'll do it down, and kind of rip it down their spine and rip it out. And it looks really disgusting. But if you slow it down, you never see a sword pierce the spine. You never see a sword go down the spine. You never see any blood. They just add in the sound effects afterward.
Now, I think you've answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is your favorite genre medieval then?
Favorite genre is science fiction fantasy. Can we combine those two?
Of course.
All right. that's, I feel like that's its own thing, because that's its own section, you know, back in the video store days, right?
Absolutely.
Sci-fi fantasy.
So, you can't
so when
say
I was a little girl. So as a little girl, there were no other sections for me. It was straight to sci-fi fantasy. What's new? What has the coolest cover?
So are you watching like Conan, Thor, Dune? What's young Tucky watching?
Young Tucky was watching Red Sonja.
Okay,
She-Ra,
I get that.
Red Sonja, big time. She-Ra, and then a little bit of Conan.
Well, that makes sense. I understand the She-Ra. Tanya Roberts, yeah, I totally get that. And I get the Red Sonja with Bridget. Oh, my God, forgetting her last name.
Bridget Nielsen.
Thank you. I totally get that. That's totally your genre. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, strong female
when that's your
characters.
Thing as a child, you don't lose it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not going to identify with a male character. No.
No, definitely not.
People need to see themselves represented on screen.
So do you find that you're doing that for your generation then, for right now, that you are that strong female character? Because you're always a strong female character in all your films I've seen. I've never seen you play a villain yet of any kind.
Yeah, well, all my films fail the reverse Bechdel test. So the Bechdel test is there has to be two conversations between two women in the movie, and the conversation can't be about a man. So that's the Bechdel test. So I fail the opposite version. The men don't, there aren't even any men in it, much less having scenes together where they talk. That's not by design. It just happened that way. I'm making movies about my life and about women. And, you know, Dagger Kiss has the strongest male character of anything I've done, which is Xerath, the intergalactic magician, intergalactic wizard, Xerath. That's the strongest male character I've ever written.
Now, there's an answer I can ask, a question I can ask, answer I can ask.
Okay.
I'm losing it tonight. That's the first time I've ever seen a male character in your film. Do people comment on that often, why they watch this?
No. I have a funny thing, though, off topic, is I had a trans man character in the first season of Girl-Girl Scene. And people who didn't know he was a trans man were furious that I had the girls, you know, getting it on with a dude, which, you know. So there's that. They were just like, this movie's supposed to be about lesbians and it has a straight man in it. I'm like, oh, there's so much more to it than that.
Oh, but, no, I know you better than that. There's no straight man in your film. If I ever see one, I will call you.
Yeah. Even I said to my friend, you know, I was shooting a scene with Xerath, and I said to the guy holding the boom, I said, so what's going on with Xerath? Is he into guys or girls? And the guy holding the boom, he's like, everything. He's just into everything. So the actor's Tom Phillips, right? I know him. And I was like, I like to help people out, right? And so I was like, Tom is going to make out with two girls in this movie. Kiss three, and then at one point, make out with two at the same time. And so I did that for him. And he obliged. Believe it or not, he gave of himself and of his body and allowed himself to be kissed by two women at the same time.
Hard job that day. It must have been a very hard day for him.
I don't know. I don't know what it's like when you're a guy and you get that. I think I did ask him. Because, you know, it is a little weird. I was like, are you okay with, like, just kissing two girls in the same scene? He was like, yeah.
Now, I'm sure this is an easy question for a great actor as yourself. Crying. I always find crying of anything kind of upsets the viewer. So when you cry, does it upset you at all to cry, or you just feel, okay, the scene says crying, I'm going to cry?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm just sitting there going, I hope they're picking up the tears, right? I hope the tears are – that's what I'm thinking when I'm crying. I'm like, I hope these tears are reading on the film. Damn it. that's what I'm thinking. You know, it's really cool in Dagger Kiss when she's dead and lying there and I'm talking to my dead love. And she was really sweet. So I'm saying all this lovely stuff to her. And then the actress, she has her eyes closed. She's just lying there. She starts going, She's so sweet that it made her cry.
So you crying is easy for you then. You could cry, not that I want you to, please don't. Cry right now if I asked you to, you could.
Okay, the crying thing is actually a trick. So you see an actor like, oh my God, he's so amazing. He can cry on cue. That's actually a trick. What you do is you hold your eyes open for about 60 seconds, and then when it's time for a tear to fall, you blink, and a tear comes down your cheek. Start watching actors do this. So, like, there'll be a whole scene. They hold their eyes open the whole time, and when it's time for this thing to happen, boom, tears come out. So a lot of really great actors and actresses use that technique. And me, Tucky, I'm sitting there going, you're cheating. You're cheating. Now, I know you're not really crying. You're just holding your eyes open. So I can't do that. I have really dry eyes. So that doesn't work for me. So I have to actually get upset, which sucks. I'd rather use the trick.
Wow, look at your
I have to get pulled into the scene, and I don't want to do that. I'm trying to direct, for heaven's sake. Instead, I have to focus on the scene.
Who is for Cedric? Because the film says at the end, for Cedric. Who is that?
Cedric is a friend of mine, and he and his parents supplied all the weapons, most of the weapons, and all the clothes the guys wore. So much stuff. The Whisper Stone that glows and talks, his dad made that by hand. His dad makes jewelry. I mean, they were such a heart and soul of this film. And Cedric just, I think he just stopped breathing one day. And everybody was really devastated because they loved him so much.
So Cedric has passed on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Then. I apologize.
He was about 22, I think, and he just stopped breathing one day.
Wow. That's heavy.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible. It's just, you know, what do you do with that? You know, it's kind of, it's like, sometimes something's just such a shock, you don't cry. You just kind of stuck with it. You know, see, I'm kind of having to move around now because it's hard to talk about. But, you know, shortly after that, another close friend of mine died suddenly. You know, he just didn't wake up one day. And so, that was a horrible shock too. So there was Cedric, and then there was my other close friend, and he was about 40. So 22 and 40, I still consider that pretty young.
I agree.
Yeah. So, well, I guess it's always young. I guess there's never an age where you go, oh, well, yes, that's old enough now. But yeah, that was a rough time. Cedric was wonderful, and I love him very much.
Very sweet. The weapons maker, I do want to discuss the weapons a bit. I mean, they are beautifully made. Like, did you go and work closely with them, or you just say, I'm looking for a couple of daggers, I'm looking for a sword? How does that work?
I they were mostly supplied by Cedric's dad. His dad is named Rodrig. And so Rodrig gave me most of the weapons. He lent them to me. He didn't give them to me, of course, but, yeah. So that's where all the weapons come from. And then this is audio, but people are listening, but they don't know I can see you. So this is one of my daggers.
Just so you know, Tucky is showing me a dagger right now from the film, and it's beautiful.
And it's epic.
It's epic. Sorry. It's epic.
I mean, it's historically accurate. And it's just sweet, you know, it's beautiful.
Didn't you just tell us you have to, these are on loan?
This one this one's mine. Oh. It was a gift to me from my friend Mick.
So what about the Whispering Stone? Like, do you get to keep that?
That was made by Rodrig. Oh no, it was funny because he made it and he goes, and this definitely is a loan.
So
that thing is beautiful. It changes color in real life. You press the button and the thing changes color. That's real.
So will it be making a reappearance then in a future episode or a future movie?
I hope so. I hope they continue to work with me.
So when you're writing a script of this length, how long does that take you? I mean, we know you're writing late at night, so I presume that's after midnight.
Yeah, probably between midnight and 3 a.m. So I don't know. It was like some days you write a whole bunch of pages. Some days, sometimes you go a week without writing anything. I honestly have no idea. I know I wrote it over the course of the summer. I had that, I think I walked in the bookstore in May and came up with the Total Recall twist. And then and then we went into production in late September. So that's how long it took. So I'd say May to September, but you get an idea of who the cast is. You get an idea of the basic plot outline and then you can refine it.
So how hard do you find acting and directing at the same time?
It's extraordinarily so difficult. It's so difficult. And I'd much rather act, and I definitely much rather do one. So I feel that I bias toward the directing, and I feel it's the acting that suffers. And I hope that's not too obvious, but I really wish I could give more to the acting, but I'm afraid I have to default to the directing. I only got weak once. I didn't even pass out. I just had to lay down. I've never been mean. I just had to lay down once for a little while. That was it.
So would little Taki go into the video store and Captain Marvel would be the thing, I think?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because to me, Captain...
like fantasy, too.
Yeah, well, I would say that. I mean, that kind of thing. So
there's not really a lot of fantasy with female leads. I don't think there is.
Well, I think you hit on the only two that I could probably name would be Red Sonja, and it would have been Sheena. I think those are the only two that you brought up earlier that I could.
Oh, you thought I said Sheena. No, Sheena was too grown up for me. I said She-Ra, the cartoon character.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
Sheena, I was not allowed to watch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't. Oh,
and not the current one. Not the current one. See, I'll go ahead and be a hater now. I'm not saying, but I don't say anything bad about. I don't say anything bad about. But I'm like, no. The true She-Ra, the original She-Ra.
Okay. I have seen both versions of She-Ra. I like the original. The new one's not for me.
Right. But you don't get online and write a nasty review. But I think a lot of guys do. A lot of guys do.
Don't watch it. Okay.
I just don't watch it. Right. I just don't watch it.
It's time for your favorite part of the show, your favorite questions, Taki. I know you've been prepping for these since last time.
I have.
Your favorite meal?
Oh, veal piccata.
Your favorite weather?
Hot as hell.
I figured that was going to be your answer. And your favorite music or favorite song? I'll take either.
Dreamwave, retrowave, synthwave. Favorite song at the moment is the song called Juliet by Ollie Ride.
So I believe everybody can find your film on Amazon Prime, if I'm right.
Yeah. It's streaming on Amazon. So if you, the Amazon Prime player, but it's not free. You have to pay for it.
It's okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's worth it. I had to pay for it. You know, people are surprised. They're like, wait, you have to pay for it? I'm like, yeah, Amazon doesn't hand out free tickets. They don't track you down by your house and go, wait, you're the one who made it. Oh, free ticket to watch. It's like, no, everybody has to buy it. I know the actresses in the other movie, they were like, we get a DVD, right? And I'm like, dude, I don't even have a DVD. I don't even know how to burn you a DVD. Like, I don't have a DVD burner. Just watch it. So,
Before I let you go, you got to pimp out everything for Taki Williams, your Instagram, your Twitter, your website. Let's go.
Everything is Taki Williams. So type my name into any search engine, Taki Williams. You can even spell it the wrong way and everything will appear. All of it. All the Taki Williams stuff. TakiWilliams.com will show you everything. GirlGirlScene.com is the most popular website, just like it sounds, GirlGirlScene.com. And DaggerKiss has its own website, DaggerKiss.com. All my social media is at Taki Williams.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening. Bye.
Oh, my God. I love being here. Thank you so much.